can the sparrow find a home? Even the weary find their rest. Just a day here in your court is better than a thousand anywhere. Get me to you.
nothing too big for him, and he's never too busy for you. Tell your troubles all to Jesus. There's nothing too big for him, and he's never too busy for you.
Amen. How's everybody this morning? If you would, let's do something real quick. Sister Living Good is not feeling too well. She's out in the lobby right now. Let's stand if we would. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for her right now, that she'll feel better and the Lord will touch her. Amen. Let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning, God, to touch our sister. God's sickness, Lord, her body needs a touch right now. Lord, we know that you'll do this thing for us. God, we ask you to reach down with your hand right now. Meet the need, Lord, as we know only you can do. God, because you're faithful this morning. And Lord, we thank you and we give you praise and honor and glory in all things. Lord, touch right now as we know only you can. Amen. Amen. You may have be seated. Where's my ushers at? Take up an offering. We want to let you know this morning, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We observe that here today. If you notice why everybody's got pink on, we support those, and we support those with prayer and love that are fighting that fight. And we want you to know also as well this morning that that is where this offering will go this morning, okay? It will go to fight breast cancer and make good things happen. So if you want your chance this morning to sow a good seed, here it is. Amen. Y'all got quiet. How come everybody gets quiet when you start talking about money? But Brother Teddy, if you would, please stand and bless this offering this morning. Like I say, once again, dig down a little deep. This is for breast cancer awareness this morning. Let's help those fight that fight. Amen. Teddy, if you would, please bless the offering this morning. Amen. I mean, it's glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm excited. Give him a hand clap. There you go. Let's lift him up. Let me take care of a few announcements. Our calendar's full. We want to relay every chance that we get what we have going on here at church. Why? Because we want you to simply be a part of it. Amen. Next week, after Sunday school, Pastor is going to be preaching. And after worship, Sunday school and worship next week, we need to have just a little bit of business meeting. I forget, honestly, with everything going on, what he said it was for. You know, so I'm sorry. But next weekend, we do need to have just a little bit of a business meeting. October 18th from 9 till 1 here at the church, you know, we're going to have a free community giveaway. You know, if you have items at the house that you know that someone else may use, we ask that you come out and stuff. Tables will be provided once again. I'm just one of these guys, and I'm in that season of my life. If you want a chance to do outreach, here it is. You know what I mean? Those folks that are scared of outreach, don't know how to do it, this and that and the other, come out, and I'm going to tell you what, bring a notepad with you, and we'll show you how to do it. That's all there is to it. But the something that will bless your heart is simply blessing other people, amen, amen, and helping other people, amen. Remember that, that's the 18th of October. Our little buddy Mike Pollard will be here the 19th. Fireball Mikey, he will be here the 19th. So we ask you to come out and be a part of that service with us. Once again, here we go. Our fall festival outreach involving our groups and stuff will be the 25th. We ask that everybody's going to get involved with that. Here's our chance to go out in the community, telling them about Jesus, and absolutely introduce them to the one that can change their life. Amen. Remember that fall outreach on the 25th. Tag team preaching, October 26th. I don't know how many we've got. 4, 5, I don't know. Maybe 6, but we're hammering out who's going to take what. We're going to take just a few scriptures and we're going to bust that thing apart. And we're going to do our best to give as many different ways about that scripture as we can give. Amen. But it's all going to boil down to one thing, community. Amen. And we want you to come out and be a part of that. We're excited for that. Amen. The Church Fall Festival here at our church on Wednesday night. We're going to have fun and games after our lessons and everything. We all want you to come out to that. That is going to be the 29th, and here you go. Last one I'm quitting. I don't care what else you come up with, okay? Shoo! Anniversary Sunday, November the 2nd. Write it in your books. Write it in your calendars. We want you to be here. This church will be celebrating 96 years of ministry. God is good, isn't he? If you don't remember one thing, God is faithful. And that's what we're going to celebrate that day, 96 years. If everybody's asked me where Teresa's at this morning, let me tell you how faithful God is in another example. Yeager First Baptist Church, where her daddy was used to pastor stuff, they're celebrating their 100th year today. God is faithful, isn't he? Amen? And we want you to come out after. We're going to have dinner and stuff out after service that day. And we're just going to absolutely have a time of fellowship, and we're going to rejoice in the Lord for his goodness. Amen? Shoo! Can I throw my paper away now? I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning, aren't you? Are you ready to worship? Pat's going to come. He's going to preach here. You know what we're going to do? I want you to get in tune with the Lord, and I want you to come in with a heart of worship, and I want you to help him preach this morning. Can someone say amen? You can help that man preach this morning if you'll just get in the right frame of mind and get into that place where you're going to say, I don't care what's going on outside these church walls, what I've got waiting on me at home, what I've got waiting on me at work this week. I'm going to tell you something this morning, right here, today, and right now. I'm going to worship the Lord this morning, amen? I remembered an old song coming up the road this morning. And that song just simply said, one of them old Pentecostal songs. I mean, just three chords and hammer it out, play it for an hour. I mean, it's just one of those old songs. That old song just simply said that something got a hold of me. Thank God that there was one day that the Lord called on me, and when he called on me, and I accepted to answer that call, that there was something got a hold of me, amen? That there was something got down on the inside that made a change. I'm going to tell you this morning that I am glad to stand here and say for you today that I'm glad that that something got a hold of me and it's still got a hold of me today, amen? Amen. It ain't left and it ain't went no worse. And I'm going to tell you what, it ain't weakened. I might have weakened a time or two, but that same thing that reached down and got a hold of me has still got a hold of me today, amen? Amen. Are you going to help me worship this morning? Amen. Or are we going to usher in his presence this morning, amen? Amen, amen. I'm going to hush. Kim, go ahead, let's do it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen.
A little bit different this morning. We're opening up with an old hymn called Victory in Jesus. How many knows that song? As we sing, we want you to fellowship. It's a thing we used to do a lot years ago. And we're going to open up that way. And through the song of Victory in Jesus, as you're worshiping and singing with us, if you sit up here and you never see anybody back there, shuffle over, shake a hand, hug a neck. And just worship and have a good time of fellowship through this song as we sing it this morning, okay?
Oh, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Worship him here this morning, okay?
Creation. you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down, took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of the blood.
So much power in the blood.
It's his goodness and mercy and the power of God.
this next part, everyone tonight, sing it with us. Join in one voice to cry out to our Lord.
Oh, wonder if you'd remain standing with us and worship the Lord just a few minutes longer there. Raise your hands and worship the Lord. I feel like Jacob, who woke up and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." Amen. Can we raise our hands and just worship him for a few more moments? Father, we're so grateful. Thank you.
Death
proclaimed
its victory. God,
we glorify you.
The King of love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. They're on a cross that made for sinners.
Thank you, Lord.
For every curse is blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished.
Thank you, Lord.
But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake.
I want to do something before we go on this morning. You all know me, I don't usually do this, but if you are here this morning and you're seeking something specific from the Lord, sort of feel like right now's the time. Everybody's in a worship atmosphere here, and I feel like right now is the time. If you came and you got something specific on your mind that you came maybe searching for, looking for, asking the Lord for help, I feel like right now is the time to do that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm desperate for you. I surrender. Drench my mercy and grace unfold, a hunger and thirst, a hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry.
Thank you, Lord.
Cry.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else need special prayer of any kind? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have your way.
like a mighty storm, stirring in my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in.
Anybody else need special prayer of any kind? Yeah, Lord.
I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you
precious fountain from Calvary's mountain, flowing down to you and I. It washes us clean. Oh, what a mystery that red blood makes me white. Isn't it wild? Doesn't it make you wonder how something so profound could be so simple? The blood, oh, the wonderful blood. Your love, oh, the marvelous love. Let the redeemed sing a song. The blood, oh, the wonderful blood, my precious Jesus. Oh, I'm so thankful for the day you saved my life. As I remember, my heart grows tender. Tears begin to fill my eyes. And isn't it wild? And doesn't it make you wonder how something so profound could be so simple?
know, the Lord meets us here every Sunday. It's amazing to me. If you've ever been around church long, you know that what happens here just isn't the norm, I would say. And I never want to take that for granted. Y'all probably get tired of me saying that, but it's the truth. I never want to take the Lord's presence for granted. And I've made this illustration before. If a dignitary, a president, comes in and people stand, and then everything he says, they'll give him a standing ovation and a clap just to honor the office or the individual making that proclamation. And I don't know, I just feel like it'd be fitting if we could all, if you can, stand. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of appreciation and some praise for being here. I never want to take him for granted. I want him to know that he's always welcome here. And that our intention is to never take him for granted, because he is great. Amen, and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is great. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Give the hand, Lord, a hand clap of praise and appreciation. Amen. Amen. Who's thankful for those manifestations? You know, me or Ted or Pat or Dave or anybody else could stand up here and tell you that, and it'd just be all right. It'd roll off your back like water off a duck's back. But there's something about when the Lord just interrupts things, and I put that in quotation marks, and says, I need to speak to my people directly. He is so good. I'm thankful for a God that still speaks like that, aren't you? Aren't you glad, Josh, that God's not somewhere out there somewhere not worried about us, but he sees us, and when we're gathered together, he comes and visits with us. God, he is so great. God, can you give him another hand clap of praise? I know we've done it, but I feel like we could do it every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. And you know, he's in control of everything. It's amazing to me. And sometimes you get caught up in the middle of something and you're wondering what direction to go. You don't know what the Lord is going to do. And sometimes it's like things out of your control sort of shift things and you wonder what's going on. And then all of a sudden God shows up and sort of shows you that there's a bigger idea in place than even what you had. And God is great in that way. Amen. Amen. I believe I want to say something here before we change the order of the service, just because I feel the Lord sort of unctioning me to do so. And for a long time, I felt like as we make a push for the altar, as we make a push to come and lay things down. But Lord, I think there's always going to be a time and a place for a message, for preaching, a sermon, whatever, where God speaks to people and comes up. Salvation, we pray today that as Pat brings the gospel in just a few minutes, that somebody comes, gets saved, gets a closer walk with the Lord. But I felt in my spirit, and I've just kept it to myself for a while, but I feel like here, the Lord is always there, Vicki, and he's sort of like, I almost feel like he's waiting on us. And there's a little bit of hesitation maybe sometimes. And I feel like when the Lord is using the choir and the atmosphere is set, I really feel unctioned to tell you that during that time, when you feel that, like whenever, I don't think it's by mistake that people are being drawn to the altar to worship during that time. I would tell you this, that whatever it is that is hindering you that day, whatever you've got on your mind, I don't care when it hit you this morning or 3 days ago, or if you've been struggling with it for 7 years, I feel like during that time is the Lord saying, come and let me take care of this right now. Because I want you to be clear-minded, your heart to be open to receive the word of God. I believe if there's a great hurdle in the church, it's we sit, Pat, as the preaching's going on, and our mind is consumed with so many other things, and we sort of blame it on society, and it adds to that. But the fact of the matter is, during that time of worship is a time to set the expectation, the environment, and for the Lord to come down and say, if you need anything done whatsoever so that you can get what I need you to get out of the rest of this service and my word, you need to come now, lay it down. As a matter of fact, I think our altar team should be up here from now on when the choir starts singing and ready to receive people so that we can meet the Lord and take, let him take care of those things so that we can receive the word of God. Amen. That's why the Bible says lay down those things that so easily beset you. And I think we need to do that without any hesitation, because as you can tell here, we start out with a plan, but at the end of the day, it's whatever God sort of dictates and goes. And that's how we roll, and that's what we want to be, is authentic. And it's not going to be a program or a show, and I can tell you this, it doesn't matter who's scheduled to do what. Pat would agree, Ted would agree, Dave, anybody who helps up here would agree. It doesn't matter about us at all. If the Lord gets in the middle of it and nobody gets to say anything, so be it. Amen. But I'm so thankful for the Lord this morning and setting the stage. And can we give him one more hand clap of appreciation? Is that okay? Won't wear your hands out, will it, to give him one more hand clap of appreciation? All right, we're going to turn the, Maddie just, maybe she's grabbing the baby and heading this way. All right, so we're going to have a baby dedication this morning, and we're going to then turn it over to Brother Pat, and he's going to come and bring the gospel this morning. And I don't know about you, but I'm not really worried about time right now. I could care less. We're here until the Lord is done, and so we're going to have a baby dedication. And I think it's by design that this is happening during this baby dedication, because I feel like if I know Ted and Tara, they would probably... What better way than to have your baby or grandbaby and dedicated than in the middle of all the work God is doing today? Amen? Just sort of shows you God's stamp of approval. And so we're going to ask for Jake and Maddie to bring Lucy up, and everybody that wants to participate, all the parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, any of the family that wants to be up front with them can come right now. I'm going to tell you, this sort of makes me feel my age. I was sort of doing a little bit of reflecting this morning, and I guess I'm getting to that age, and got to thinking about my little ball team at one time. And some of you know, understand that. I think about, we done married the pitcher off there probably about 3 years ago, and catcher got married last weekend. I seen the shortstop walk in with two of her babies this morning. And now Spitz. That's what we put on her uniform, Spitz with a Z. Because when she'd get up to bat, she'd spit. So she was not always the lady that you see before you. But it's good. I've watched both of them grow up. Jake and Maddie always been around the house at birthday parties and things of that nature. And, man, it seems like the pitcher and the shortstop and the catcher and now the first baseman's growing up and having babies of their own and sort of makes the old ball coach feel old a little bit. But we're certainly thankful for this family and the blessing they are here at the church, and believe that they're building an heritage for the Lord. And so we're going to read a few things this morning and then get them to answer just a question or two here. Children are a gift from God. Psalms 127:3 proclaims that sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. As believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. God in His goodness gives children as gifts to parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift, because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents. It is only proper and appropriate that children be dedicated back to God. We're told in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In Luke 2:22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present Him before the Lord. And in the same way, Jake and Maddie is bringing Lucy this morning to present themselves before the Lord. And so I'm going to talk to the parents just a moment here and call your attention to the commands of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 7. It's all right. It's okay. Hear, O Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts and impress them on their children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Likewise, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but instead bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. God's instructions are plain. We're to love God with every ounce and fiber of our energy and teach our children to do the same. As you love God and one another, you'll model before them a wonderful love that God has for them and wants a relationship with them. Jake and Maddie, by coming forward before God and His people, you do by declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and Lucy to the Lord. If so, please respond by saying, we do. All right. Having come freely, I ask you now that you would enter into this commitment in the presence of God and these people, so that as Lucy may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. She's just playing the role. Y'all leave her alone. Do you, Jake and Maddie, vow by God's help and in the partnership with the church to provide Lucy a Christian home of love and peace, to raise him in the truth of our Lord's instruction, discipline, and to encourage him to one day trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, parents and grandparents and everybody? Amen. All right, finally, I'll ask the church to make this vow as well, and I love this. This is one part I never take out of this because I believe it's so true. You know, there's an old adage that says it takes a village to raise a child. And so I want you to stand, if you would, because you're going to be a part of this again. And we're going to direct these questions to you since you're present today in God's house. Having come freely, I ask now that you would make the following commitment to those that stand before you, this family, so that Lucy may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ, to help Jake and Maddie be faithful to God, and to help teach and train Lucy in the ways of the Lord so that she might one day trust Him as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, we do. All right. That being said, I want you to extend your hand this way, and we're going to pray over Lucy and pray over this family, and we're going to pray that God's anointing would rest with them and that they would continue to build this heritage before the Lord this morning. Amen. Everybody that will, just extend your hand this way, And let's pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, as we extend our hands this way and we pray for this family, we pray for this baby, Father, we ask God that you would touch and the minister move to anoint, God, to encourage, to help them to be able to raise Lucy, Lord, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. God, to ask the grandparents to be there to give strength and encouragement and discernment and enlightenment along the way. God, we thank you, Father, and praise you, God, and magnify your holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can you give them a hand clap of appreciation? And amen. 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 It's all right. The natives get restless from time to time, and that's okay. Amen. Amen. God is good. Uh-oh, Luke's done walked out of his shoes up here, Anne. It's all right. I tell you what, I love to hear babies crying. I love to hear children rumbling around. I just enjoy the fact that our church, there's a lot of churches that would love to have a tenth of the kids that we have, and I'm so thankful for them. I talked to somebody this past weekend there. Lord, I forgot about that. I married off my pinch runner yesterday too, Carly. She got married to my nephew Ryan. We used to take her and she used to pinch run. So about almost my whole softball team's married off now. We were talking to somebody around the table there after rehearsal, and they were talking about their church, and they just said, "We just have no young people whatsoever." And it hit me, and I think, man, we are so blessed, amen, here at this church, and blessed with a lot of good ministers too that'll bring the gospel. And we're going to bring Patrick right now and turn him loose and allow him to speak to us. And if you need anything from the Lord, I'm sure the Lord's got something for you, and we're going to turn it over to Patrick.
I believe, you know, there's nothing that I can do, Terry, to bring anybody into repentance, to bring anybody to the altar. And I think Jesus has already showed up in the building. And today I had a message on the altar. Josh pierced my heart when he taught on it a couple weeks ago. Ted taught on it this morning. That ain't where the Lord's wanting to lead to. So I'm going to obey him first. I'm going to point you, because I don't want him to leave. I want him to stay right where he was 10 minutes ago. And I want you to posture your heart and continue to focus on that holy moment. And if you're new here, if this is your first time being in this building, we don't care. We don't look like a normal church, and that's okay, because we honor the Lord. When the Lord moves, we listen. When he wants to do something, we listen. When he's in the building, we give him control. Because that's who we are. And that's who we all should be as a Christian. And this morning, I want to a familiar scripture. And I'm not going to, sorry, Dave. I'm not going to preach from what I give Dave this morning. But John 3:16, 17 and 18. If you don't care to stand for the reading of God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your presence most of all, Lord. Lord, hide me behind the cross, Lord, that I can get out of the way and let you do what you need to do. Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for this church. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. For God so loved the world church for the longest time. I'm going to preach from my heart today. I'm going to preach what he gives me. But I was condemned. I always felt condemned. I had people who condemned me. I didn't feel peace. I didn't feel love. I didn't feel nothing but condemnation. And I want someone in this house to know that Jesus Christ, he loves you today. That he did not come to condemn you, but he came to set you free. That through him, not by any words of any man, not anything that I can do, not anything that anybody else could do, but what he can do. That it's through and by the blood of Christ. We can work up a message, we can do this, we can do that. But sometimes we just got to get out of the way and let God be God. And let him do what he needs to do. I can't save you, but he can. Today, if condemnation's on your heart, if you're feeling not loved and appreciated, you're in the right place. He is here. I can't do nothing for you, but I can point you to the one who can. I can point you to him. Because when he was traveling up Golgotha's hill, when he was carrying the cross upon his shoulders, bearing the weight of the world, you was on his mind. You was on his mind. You was on his mind. He was thinking about you. How heavy that cross got when he was started up the hill. It was heavy on him, weighing him down, feeling the weight of the cross. But you was on his mind. That freedom, you can have that freedom today because it's in him. He came to seek and to save them which was lost. Them who feel unworthy. And I felt that for a long time in my life. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't feel like that I deserved what he done for me. But that's my Savior. That's who he is. He come to the ones that everybody else forgot about. He came to the one and healed the ones that everybody forgot about. He come into the world and they tried to condemn him. But praise be to God, the grave could not hold him. That the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ and in no other name. And church, we got to understand who we are and who we are in him. You can't fight depression, anxiety, and all those things that battle us in the world today alone. You've got to fight it with him, hand in hand with the Savior, hand in hand walking with him as he travels up Golgotha's hill carrying your cross. That's the only way that we can defeat those things that conquer us. That it's through and by the blood of Christ, no other way. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to try to point you to the one who can save your soul, who can set you free. There's people that say that, Lord, Lord, that don't know him. It's so overwhelmed by the world. And this world will overwhelm you. Everything points to you. You do you. You make you happy. Everything's about us. Even sometimes when we get in the church house, we'll walk through those doors out, get in the car, and tell our wife or husband or whoever, man, I wasn't feeling it today. That singing wasn't very good today. That preaching wasn't very good today. Because we make the gospel about us. When it's all about him and what he done. He can set you free from the bondage which is your mind. That you've got to renew it daily, as Paul said. If you want to renew your mind daily, there's only one name that can set you free. And his name is Jesus Christ. He come to set you free today and he wants you to change. He wants you free. He don't want you bound by the world because that's not who he is. There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. None. Zero. When he sees you, he sees a son. He sees a daughter. He sees someone who needs to come back home and lay it down at the altar as Josh taught about. And Ted talked about this morning. There's no condemnation up here. There's freedom. There's liberty. Freedom in Jesus Christ. And I don't want to get in the Spirit's way. I want Him to move. Because this gospel is not about Pat Browning. And it never will be. It's about my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, who's come to set the captive free. If you're bound this morning, He can do it. He can set you free. If you need change in your life, He can set you free. If you need a new direction, if you're headed down the wrong road, you know where you're headed. He can set you free. But it all depends on you and taking that step of obedience toward Him. Because He's done carried the cross for you. He's done what He needed to do. So what are you going to do for Him? Are you going to get out of the way and let Jesus rule your life? If you call Him Lord, let Him be Lord. You can't be Lord of your life. He has to be. Because listen, for a long time in my life, I tried to be Lord. I chased after everything that made Pat happy. It never worked. I was always chasing, looking, searching, trying to find something that I could not grab. It felt like it was always just right there. If I have this, it'll make me happy. If I have this, it'll make me happy. If I have this, it'll make me happy. But it never did. Always looking, always searching, always unhappy. But until I met the man who bore my cross, who set me free, who said, son, you've been chasing after the wrong things in this life. Pick up your cross and follow me. Chase after me, and I'll make you a fisherman of men. That's who He's called me to be. That's who He's called you to be. Church, we got to look different. Peter says we're supposed to be a peculiar people, a royal priest to the chosen generation, to look different, to talk different, to walk different. Church, He wants to do a mighty work. And like Ted's been saying and Dave's been saying, the younger generation is looking. They're looking for something. But they couldn't find it in us because we're too bound by depression, too bound by anxiety, bound by lukewarm Christianity, bound by sitting on our hind ends and not worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and not worried about anything else but Him. Church, we got to focus on Jesus. If we want to see the younger generation saved, we've got to point them to Him. And you get out of the way and let Christianity and the religion of Christianity be different, to look different. Man, I don't know what's going on at that church, but they're on fire. I don't know why they're speaking in tongues and people falling out in the Spirit, because we want Him. We don't want nothing else but Him. We want the fire of heaven to fall in this room like it did in Acts 2. We're not worried about what everybody else in the crowd is saying below. Let the fire fall here and it'll transform the world around us if we let it. But we've got to get out the way and let Jesus be Jesus. If we want to see the young generation change, we got to let Jesus be Jesus and not make it about us. We're more worried about our attendance on the board that Sean talks about all the time. The little board that's got the attendance and who brought their Bible and all those things. But it's not about that, and that's okay. We're not about religion. We need to be about Jesus. He didn't come to condemn us, but to set us free. So this morning I'm going to ask you, are you bound? Are you bound by something that's in your life that you can't get rid of, that you can't shake? Every day you're fighting it, you're fighting it, you're fighting it, and you can't understand why. Give it to Him. Let Him take it. Let Him take it. And let Him take it away. Because He can do it. I promise you He can. If He can change me, an old heathen, an old dirty, bar hopping, women chasing. My wife don't like to hear that stuff, but women chasing. Doing all the bad things that in my life, because I'm not afraid of who I used to be, because I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I know that He set me free. I know that I once was captive, but He set me free.
And if he can set me free, he can set you free. That you don't have to leave the same way that you come through those doors. Worried about the depression and anxiety that you're fighting. He can set you free today too. But you've got to get out the way. Pick up your cross and follow him.
Jeffrey, I can feel it. Church, there is no condemnation. I don't care if you've been going to church here for 40 years. If you're struggling, man, don't be afraid to come to the altar, as Ted and Sean said. It's okay not to be okay. It is okay not to be okay. The world and the enemy that tries to devour us wants you to think you sit on your hind end and not get up and go receive what the Lord has given you, and he'll hold you there. And guess what? You'll stay captive to that thing that haunts you every day. You'll stay bound to that thing that destroys you from the inside out. You'll stay bound to those things in your mind that you can't seem to get rid of. But you've got to let God be God and let him do a work in you and change you. Because there is no condemnation in him. None. If he didn't condemn me, he's not going to condemn anybody. And that's a fact. So as we stand, Dave, I'm wrapping up. I feel like the Lord has done a mighty work in this building. But I don't feel like he's done. I didn't even really want to get up here and preach because I felt like he was doing a thing. His thing. So with all heads bowed, holy reference to the Lord. This ain't just a regular moment. This is a holy moment. This is your time. This is holy worship to the God who sent his Son not to condemn you, but to set you free. If you're bound this morning and you don't want to come up front because you know everybody's going to be looking at you, raise your hand. Not only me and you will know, and God, raise your hand. Do you need set free this morning? Do you really need to be set free this morning? He can do it. Don't be a tough guy. Don't think you got to be this tough person. He can set you free if you'll let him. So now I'm going to open the altar again. I don't feel like he was done. If you got anything that you're struggling with, even in the church, anything, family member you want prayed for, anything, we got to get away from this mentality that we can't come to the altar. Power in the altar, fire at the altar, Holy Ghost at the altar. Everything changes when you die to you and you get out the way and let him do what he needs to do. So if you need to come, please come. Prayer team, would you please come up? We're not done yet. I know you're thinking about chicken and dumplings and whatever. That all can wait. I want to feed on some spiritual meat, and that is Jesus Christ. And let him do what he needs to do. So if you need to come, you got people up here to pray with you now. You're not alone. So please come. Don't leave the same way that you came. Please come. He didn't come in the world to condemn you, but to set you free. To give you freedom in Jesus Christ. There's only one way that you can receive freedom. True freedom. Truly being set free. It's by Jesus and him only. Seek him out while he's still here. Please come. Dave, you want to turn it up just a little bit? I'll get out of the way. Come on up.